Welcome to the Invisible Illness Podcast with patient advocate Susan Bilheimer. You can call the vent line now with your comments and questions, 872-222-8718. And now, your host, Susan Bilheimer.
Hi, everyone. This is Susan Bilheimer, and you're listening to the Invisible Illness Podcast. And now, part two of my conversation with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. We begin this week by continuing our conversation about chemical sensitivities and food allergies and how the use of NAET allergy elimination techniques may be helpful.
And if you're sensitive to the nutrients that are essential to your body,
oh yeah,
what I'm going to recommend, Susan, is a special acupressure technique called NAET.
Oh, yeah.
This technique is remarkable for eliminating sensitivities. To give an idea, as I noted, I don't take money from any of the companies, but that doesn't mean they get a free ride when I develop a product for them. The royalties go to charity. So one of the things that our foundation funded was a study using NAET for autism. And 23 of the 30 autistic kids were back in regular school at the end of 1 year, as opposed to 0 out of 30 in the untreated control group using the NAET. But it's going to take about 25, 50 treatments for people with severe chemical sensitivities. But it's very benign. It's not very expensive relative to most of the stuff out there. And it's NAET.com. Now, there's over 12,000 practitioners worldwide. Some of them are really good, and some aren't.
Yeah, didn't work for me, but I didn't do that many. So, and I don't know that I had a good practitioner, but it's definitely something to explore. You know, I've heard a lot about that.
Take a look at it again. Find somebody. Go to the health food stores and go to the practitioners in the area who are, say, naturopaths or the other natural practitioners, and ask who is good for NAET. Because, like I say, some people are really gifted and some aren't. And
right.
And expect to go through 25 treatments to clear the basic sensitivities.
Wow. I want to read something you wrote to me. In preparing for the interview, you and I were communicating, and you wrote something so beautiful, and I think it's because you were a patient. I really want to read it and have you expand on it. You said, "This illness is not the enemy. Like blowing a fuse, CFS and fibromyalgia act as a protective mechanism, forcing people to not spend energy they don't have. In addition, as these people are often people pleasers who take care of everyone but themselves, it forces us to look at our lives and see who we really choose to be instead of who we think we should be. This requires getting in touch with our feelings to see what feels good to us and is therefore authentic instead of following the programming we were given as children." Joseph Campbell summed it up well when he said, "Follow your bliss. Of course, this is easier to do once you have been treated and are feeling better. If you then simply go back to doing what made you sick earlier, your body will shut you down again. If you follow your heart and feelings instead, CFS fibromyalgia can give you back your life. That is what it did for me." I have chills just reading that. That is a profound statement, because a lot of us, we're so downtrodden from this illness. We're like, why me? And I can't take it anymore. And this turns everything upside down in how you look at it.
Absolutely, Susan. It's like blowing a fuse in your home. Again, if you plug in too many space heaters or blow dryers, your body will blow a fuse to protect you from spending energy you don't have. And it's the same thing. Now, it's really annoying to have no energy in the house and you blow a fuse. But what the SHINE protocol does, it turns the circuit breaker back on. But like you said, if you go back to doing what made you sick in the first place, say you get well during the SHINE protocol, and you say, okay, well, now I've got to go back to this job that was toxic and made me sick in the first place, and be in this relationship that made me sick in the first place. Now I can't be with my children because I have to go take care of this boss who's an idiot. You know, and you go back to doing what you hate, you will blow a fuse again. And that is a really good thing. But if you start to recognize, you know, this illness pulled me out of situations that really were unhealthy for me.
Wow.
And now that I'm better, what is it that feels great to me? What's authentic? What do I really want to be doing with this energy? Knowing that, you know, we think, well, I should go back to this job and think, no, your body won't let you. You are disabled from that. It will not let you go back to what made you sick before. And that's a good thing. So now let's look at what it is that you'd really love to do with this energy. And the body's very straightforward with that. Doesn't matter what your brain is saying.
Yes.
Your heart and your feelings know what's authentic to you. And it will guide you gently or not so gently in that. What you need to be.
Can you talk a little bit about your own experience with CFS and fibromyalgia and what happened to you and how you got to do what you're doing?
Yeah. You know, people ask me how I got interested in this as an MD. You know, what do MDs know about this disease, basically? And how I got interested the old-fashioned way I had it. I was, as you, when you kind of went through that, what I talked about before, we talked about this being a disease of people pleasers. Basically, a disease of people who are seeking approval. So I was, you know, it's people with this disease, don't you sometimes feel like you have a big sign over your head, a neon sign flashing that says emotional toxic waste dump? And everybody with problems, they come to Susan, they say, oh, Susan, I'm so glad you're here. I feel awful. And, you know, with a little bit of energy you picked up, all of a sudden they've barfed up all their toxic stuff on you. They go away saying, oh, I feel so much better now. And you feel like you just got the dump got loaded on your head. Where most people, they go, no. People with this disease, they go, okay. Yeah. So my family, my mom, most of my family came through Auschwitz and the concentration camps. And, you know, they kind of covered that up with a thin veneer of sanity after they got out, and they did really well. But it basically unmasked, and I got caught in the middle of this emotional hailstorm and battle when I was in medical school that I figured I'd be the peacemaker, which is a big mistake. And in the midst of that, I was paying my own way through med school because my dad was dead, so work study, doing all the rest of the things I was doing. Med school was kind of a leisure activity compared to everything else in my life, and I came down with nasty viral infection. Blood count showed all the, you know, the viral lymphocytes and all the rest, but 6 weeks later, I was still non-functioning. And the professors finally said, oh, well, it must be med student syndrome, he's depressed, or, you know. And I had to drop out of med school.
And what year was this?
1975.
Okay.
And since I was paying my own way, that meant no work study, no scholarship, no loans. I was homeless, sleeping in parks. And it was there. I mean, God bless my professors. They're really good folks and really sweet and really caring, but they had no clue. But I met people when I was homeless in Oklahoma, sitting in parks. Naturopaths would come by, herbalists would come by, energy, all these different people. And they taught me the bits and pieces of what I needed to do to get well. And I got well, went back to med school, and got my honors in medicine, moved onward. And that got my attention. And I spent the last 30-plus years researching this disease because I know it. I know it firsthand. But I also know that you can get well.
Wow. You don't usually hear the phrase, you can get well. You hear, you can manage it, you can learn to deal with it, but you can get well is not one I often hear.
You can get well.
That's amazing.
It's like high blood pressure. People ask, can you cure it? Well, no, you can't cure high blood pressure.
Right.
But if you lose some weight, if you adapt your diet, you can make it go away. If you take the medication, you can control it. And with this disease, now, there's not a cure certainly for everybody, but it can be managed for most people so that you can get your life back. And for many people, we hit the underlying problems and turn the circuit breaker back down and it goes away. Now, people say, does that mean that I'll never blow a fuse again? And I say, thank God that's not the case. You go back to what made you sick in the first place, it'll make you sick again.
Right.
And that's a good thing.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about the sleep issue, because that's a tough one. That's really a tough one. And I know one of my problems was that I was on a very minimal dose of Klonopin for a long time, and it completely, completely messed up my nervous system. And I'm still recovering 7 months later from having been on it. But sleep is, like you said, if you don't get it, you're screwed anyway, right? if you get it with medicine, you're screwed up. If you don't take medicine and you can't sleep, you're screwed up. So it's a really tough problem.
Nope. Let me make it easy.
Okay.
If you take the Valium family of medications like Klonopin, and Klonopin and Xanax actually do have a role here, but we avoid those. But that whole family of Valium medications force you into light sleep, and they're addictive. What people need is deep sleep. So let me start with the natural things. Melatonin, even 0.5 to 1 milligram, but the 3 milligram standard dose is fine, has been shown to be almost as effective as Lyrica in terms of even the pain and such and fibromyalgia. You go ahead and get some magnesium at bedtime. For those of you who get the runs from magnesium, Jigsaw Health makes a sustained-release magnesium that will not give you the runs and is very effective. Herbal sleep mixes, the revitalizing sleep formula is my favorite one, a mix of 6 herbs. Again, it's not enough to overcome, none of these will overcome the entire sleep issue. You add them one to the other, but these 3 natural things, very well tolerated, very helpful. For those of you who wake up, who are exhausted all day, your head hits the pillow and your mind is wide awake and it's midnight, but your adrenals are too high at night and too low during the day, there's a very nice simple product called Sleep Tonight. Ashwagandha, phosphatidylserine, some other herbs, you will know in the first 3 days of taking it. It will settle that down so you can sleep. all of these can be taken together.
What is it called? Sleep? It's called Sleep Tonight?
Sleep Tonight.
Wow.
Melon's an enzymatic therapy product. All those, I don't have melatonin on my website, but the other three I do have on my website.
Right.
Again, these are easy. I don't carry things that are not readily available all over the place because
right.
it's a conflict of interest otherwise.
Well, I melatonin, I kind of reacted badly to, but you know, one thing that
don't take it.
That's true, but there's a lot of other options you're talking about, but also I'm finding meditation has made a big difference. Have you used that at all integrated with your work?
Absolutely. So let me just finish the one thing for the sleep, because a lot
okay.
of people will need the medications and we'll go to meditation after. But the trazodone in very low dose, 25 to 50 milligrams, Neurontin, even Ambien, although Ambien, once you get over 10 milligrams, can be addictive. So again, keep it to the 10 milligrams or less. There's a number of medications that in very low dose, you don't get the side effects. And things like Neurontin, trazodone, not addictive. You can even use some Benadryl. And in combination, you can find a mix that will get most people the 8 to 9 hours sleep a night without hangover. And then look for restless leg syndrome, which is an iron deficiency, not a Reliquip deficiency, and look for sleep apnea. So, sorry, I just want to finish that one off, Susan. Let's take a look at meditation, Tai Chi, yoga. These have been clearly shown to be helpful in fibromyalgia. Yoga, especially Tai Chi, Qigong would be another option. These are all things that will help get your energy moving again, help stretch your muscles, help settle and clear your mind. So at bedtime, it's a funny thing. If you do a meditation, the reason people meditate sitting up is predominantly because otherwise you fall asleep.
Yes.
So you can do your meditation during the day sitting up. But at nighttime, do it laying down, giving yourself permission to float off.
Do you find that you ever have flare-ups anymore? Or I mean, because you're like, you write all these books. I can't believe how much you do. And, you know, like you said, it's not necessarily cured. Do you ever get flare-ups or times where you're like, oh, I better just lay back? Because you seem to be going nonstop.
I tend to be a bit of a top, but I tend to also do those things that I love doing. So what I do is a passion for me. I will have periods. My body will tell me I'll see my sleep will go down.
Right.
And I'll get a little more achy. So my body knows that I will listen to it. So it kind of gives me taps on the shoulder more gently. It doesn't have to like push me over the edge of the cliff like it had to before.
Right. So you're very attuned now to the subtle messages from your body.
Yes. And it's not that I'm looking. It'll come to me. I don't have to go looking.
Right.
But I notice when these things are going on, I start to take out my pruning shears and I look at my life and I see what am I doing that feels good and what have I outgrown?
Yes.
And then I trim.
Yeah. The last thing I'd like to talk about, you really started moving into the pain area, and I know you have a book, it's called Pain-Free 1-2-3, where I imagine you're incorporating a lot of what we've already been talking about. Is that correct?
Yes. We're looking at similar things from different angles. If you don't have enough energy in the muscles, muscles are like a spring. They naturally stay in a shortened position. It takes energy to relax, to stretch the spring, to stretch the muscle. So when you lift a 20-pound weight, the energy is actually used to relax the muscle afterward. When you don't have energy, your muscles get locked in a shortened position, and those are all those tender knots that you have throughout your body called trigger points. And when you store energy production, the muscles release and the pain goes away. But what I found is that since I was doing pain management as part of this, because it overlapped at night, people were coming in to see me for the pain, because back then there weren't pain specialists. We find for migraines, for example, when I was on CNN, the segment right before me, they had, oh, this new surgery cut out big chunks of your face muscles to decrease migraines 50%. And I had to bite my tongue when I went on, because it's tacky to diss the person who was on right before you, and say that vitamin B2, riboflavin, 400 milligrams, cheap, safe, easy, and double-blind studies decreases migraines after 6 weeks by 69% on average. So, but that's a nickel, and who's going to learn about that and care about that? So for each kind of pain, for arthritis, you have over 30,000 Americans dying from arthritis medicines each year. When you have natural pain things like curcumin, that's a Europharma product, a mix of curcumin, boswellia, DLPA, and natokinase, amazing for pain management. And pain, which is another product by a different company, excellent for arthritis pain. So there's natural things you can do for the pain relief. Glucosamine for arthritis is funny. The NIH study showed glucosamine was as effective as Celebrex for arthritis, but the study authors were all on the payroll of the drug company. So what did
right.
they say in the press release?
Oh, right.
Natural remedies don't work, use the medications. But the study showed that the natural remedies are more effective.
Wow.
But God bless dollars. So, you know, that's what you see with that. But So for each kind of pain, whether it's migraines, whether it's neuropathic pain, the book goes through step by step. Here's how you treat them. In addition, not everybody can afford a book. On my website at vitality101.com, you see Health A to Z. You just scroll down, go if it's neuropathic pain, migraines, whatever you've got. The articles are there. It'll tell you how to make that pain go away using the best of natural and prescription therapies. If you have an iPhone or an Android, there's a free app, Cures A to Z. Cures A-C, over a million downloads at this point.
So cool. Oh my gosh. And so you have an app where you can look up these things right on your iPhone. That's unbelievable.
And on your Android.
That is so cool.
This is my way. Well, Susan, think of it this way. My game has been how to make effective treatments available to millions of people worldwide for something for which there's no money behind it. The natural remedies are often far more effective, but you're not going to hear about them because nobody's going to pay the publicist to go pounding on the doors of the reporters to say, hey, this nickel worth of natural thing, which is not patentable, is more effective. Most effective way to get rid of a migraine in the emergency room? Magnesium IV. Studies show will knock out migraine 85% of the time, and it will be gone. It will be gone in 15 minutes, much more effective. The only thing that comes close to being as effective is cutting your head off, which I don't recommend. But the problem with it is that magnesium costs a nickel. The whole cost of setting the IV. So nobody's going to put it through the FDA process. Nobody's going to sit there and send all these good-looking cheerleader drug reps to the emergency room doctors and say, use that. They're going to say, use Imitrex, use all these other triptans, blah, 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 because those are expensive.
I am a person who's tried so many things. And so, for instance, with my migraines, none of the things you mentioned yet have helped me. So I keep looking, well, the next thing, and then I go back to my Frova because, you know, I take magnesium and all the other things that you've mentioned. And it's just sometimes hard. And then I become disheartened even about natural remedies.
Susan, your migraines are coming from food allergies. You've already told me that you have allergies from hell, sensitivities from hell.
That's true.
And do the elimination diet on my website. It's right. A kinder, gentler elimination diet, easier to do. The study says, read the article, because what you're doing is you're grabbing a piece of off the edge here and then that, and you give it up. Look at the migraine article. It will be all organized for you.
Okay.
The one on the website and how to do it. But in your case, from what you're telling me, you've got the food sensitivities most likely triggering them. Do the elimination diet, and that way you'll be able to get a sense of those. And then, like I said, I would go back and find a good NAAP practitioner. Yep. The elimination diet you can do on your own. And again, over 85, you treat food allergies, and most migraines will go away too. You can go at it from different angles.
Yeah, I barely eat it. I'm so limited in what I eat. But you'll have to send me a bill now because you're just giving me as if I had a session with you. It was fantastic.
A compliment of a friend, and I hope that millions of other people listen to it and get a free session with it.
No, I did too. Is there anything that we haven't talked about? Again, I could talk to you for hours. You're unbelievably fascinating, and you're really on the side of patients, and it's just so rare. I love it. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about that we haven't discussed yet?
You know, there's all the different things. Just the easiest thing, do the online program, because that's really going to organize it for people. It's called the Symptom Analysis Program at vitality101.com. We didn't talk about adrenal under hormones. I want to throw a quickie in for that.
Oh yes, definitely
talk
about
that. Adrenal exhaustion is a biggie. That's your stress handler. People are overstressed and they exhaust their adrenals. So the way that you tell, it's not, you know, there's a very high-tech way to tell if you have adrenal exhaustion, which is I ask the person the question, do you get irritable when hungry? Or is it like a light switch goes off and people around you know that they have 3 minutes to feed you or you will kill them? And you go like, yep, that's me. That's adrenal exhaustion. Simple way, adrenal stress end is a nice product for that, 1 or 2 in the morning. That one also.
What is it called? Wait, what is that called again?
Adrenal stress end. It's a mix of licorice, adrenal glandulars, the tyrosine, the B6, vitamin C, different nutrients. Really help stabilize the adrenals. Do not salt restrict if you have adrenal exhaustion. There's this big media craze now. We go into fashions, you know, in medicine, which are just absurd. Like they say eggs are bad. No, eggs are healthy. They are healthy. Salt. We say, oh, salt,
right.
bad. If you salt restrict when you have adrenal exhaustion, you will crash and burn. So you want to increase, you want to take as much salt as your body wants, and you want to stay hydrated. Drink plenty of water. And I know you're drinking 4 times what your husband's drinking, but you're peeing 5 times as much.
Right.
You stay hydrated. And then one other, I want to teach you a simple Tai Chi move, and then we'll call it a day for low adrenal. because you look at the chronic to CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and God bless them, on the news networks all the time. But it's nonsense, the stuff, except for me, of course, the summer. and you have all the stuff that you're watching. You're looking to get all the bad news to scare the death out of you 24/7. So if you're watching the news, it's okay to watch once in a while. But when it stops feeling good, here's a Tai Chi move you do. You reach behind you, you grab the remote control, you point it at the TV set, and you hit either off or change channel, go to Comedy Network.
Oh, no, no. We have to have our dose of disaster and catastrophe.
even though it's not terrible. If they wrote fiction across the top, at least we'd know that. You know,
right,
it's not very
entertainment. I can't thank you enough. All the stuff you're giving patients to help them is amazing. And I really want to thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's a labor of love and it's fun.
Okay, take care. We'd love to hear your feedback about this podcast. Please call our 24-hour vent line at 872-222-8718. We may even play your comment on the air. Thanks for listening. I'll be talking to you soon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Invisible Illness Podcast with Susan Bilheimer. Visit the website at www.invisibleillnesspodcast.com.